Would you please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel? In your bulletin, you have the NRSV version. I'm going to read the Message version. So it's going to sound a little bit different, but I decided that I liked the Message version. That's it. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. While Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John, called the Baptizer, was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. John and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy. Thunder in the desert, prepare for God's arrival, make the road smooth and straight. John dressed in a camel hair habit, tied at the waist by a leather strap. He lived on a diet of locusts and wild field honey. People poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordan countryside to hear and see him in action. There at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life. When John realized that a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do, he exploded. Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and flourishing? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I am a mere stagehand. Will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Okay, you may be seated. And I'm going to jump right into a sermon. John is one of my favorites in the Bible. He is humble and he's weird. We always get this physical description of John. And we get physical descriptions of people once in a while in the Bible. Remember Zacchaeus, the wee little man. But John always gets emphasized through this lens of like the wild man, the survivor out in the countryside. In the wilderness, he eats locusts, he's dressed in camel hair, he's a little unkempt, probably smelly. Yet, he's baptizing, taking on this huge responsibility of worship, a sacrament, and pretty intimately laying on value to these people. John reminds me of a friend of mine. We're not always sure where he is. He's maybe a free spirit, like John, the original free spirit, I would say. My friend Chase, he works at a ski resort in New Mexico, so that's really only in the wintertime. The rest of the year, we're not always sure. He travels. His home base is in Kansas City. He has friends all over the world, so he's somewhere. And Chase, like John, being a free spirit, maybe a little weird. But Chase is someone who sees value in his people. He names worth in his friends and the ones he interacts with. He is always available to talk, supportive, and listens, and takes people and their experiences seriously. And I think in my head, this is who John is, believing people when they tell him who they are. Someone who looks others in the eye and says, you are a beloved child of God. And then he dunks them in the water and they go on with their life. There's a couple things I noticed about John in this passage that I want to talk about. Like his desert surroundings, simple and austere is his message. John is sent to lay this foundation for Jesus to come, to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry to change lives and bring others into the kingdom. And so as far as Advent preparations of our waiting in this season, John is the physical human Advent that Jesus gets, the prepare human. He's not just sharing the word and warning people. He is in action, worshiping God, performing this sacrament, leading worship for these people, declaring value before Jesus, sure, in time of his ministry, but also before Jesus as worship. John calls out this inauthentic baptism by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, saying, hey, you're just doing this thing because it's the popular thing to do. The popular thing to do calls our attention every which way, million different directions today in our culture. I don't know if coming to church is the popular thing to do. Maybe it was at one point. Maybe it still is at some times. Maybe for some people in some places that is the popular thing. But John is calling attention to this production, this show, the to-be-seen aspect of being baptized. And then John keeps going, and he says, what counts actually is your life, not the skin that you put on or the skin that you maybe throw some water on to try to change, but your life, is it green and flourishing? And this is where I bristled a little bit to say, hey, John, maybe we're not always green and flourishing at all seasons of our life. There are seasons of our life that are covered in snow outside, dead, and needing a resurrection. But what John, I think, is really talking about here is the fruit that bears from what the tree is made out of. This other metaphor that Jesus uses to talk about trees, that good trees will bear good fruit and bad trees will bear bad fruit. And if your life is rooted in green and flourishing, if your life is rooted in foundations of faith and authenticity and goodness, that goodness will come up as fruit. The goodness of each and every one, beloved before birth from the Psalms, beautifully and wonderfully made. Those are our roots and foundations of love. And then the green and flourishing also is not about our own works. It's this Holy Spirit intervention that John has tapped into also, that John is filled with this Holy Spirit leading him and trusting in this Spirit. Yeah, kind of woo-woo sometimes. We're like, yeah, the Holy Spirit's there, but I can do everything on my own, and I can get it done, and I can do all these things by my own works. And that is not the depth of faith that John is talking about. He is talking about those places we can't quite reach with our own merits, that the Holy Spirit needs to intervene to show us a new life and a new way in those green and flourishing spaces. The Holy Spirit's nudge into deeper and more authentic faith with you. Then there was one more thing I was just thinking about, John. In the passage that we read of Isaiah, the author is talking about this peace that happens in the wilderness with animals sitting together, a creation existing in the same space. The author of Isaiah says, the wolf will romp with the lamb, the leopard sleep with the kid, calf and lion will eat from the same trough, and a little child will tend them. Cow and bear will graze the same pasture. Their calves and cubs grow up together, and the lion eats straw like the ox. These animals that only exist in the wilderness, they're not roaming around our towns. I doubt the Pharisees and the Sadducees are seeing them come into the temple and the worship spaces, but who might be seeing those things happen is someone like John, getting to experience this peace in the prophecy of Isaiah. What a cool call to be in the wilderness like that, to experience this power of peace through our God. And I wonder if maybe the kind of wilderness like that creates space for more of the Holy Spirit to show up. I'm going to end with just a couple questions for you, maybe to think about of John as you're going along. In my Advent devotionals, I have a couple more things about John too, so take note of those. I love talking about John, so I have a few more coming up in the next couple weeks. But how does John embody Christ before experiencing his ministry? What can John teach us about faith and integrity and value in how he interacts with himself, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with other people who he's baptizing? And so, as I close, I'm just going to pray, Holy Spirit, may we hear John's voice and Jesus' love through the reassurance, you are a beloved child of God for each and every human being. Amen.